We'll call the meeting of the Agriculture and Rural Economies meeting to order. Today is March 22nd. We have in front of us today the Omnibus Agriculture and Rural Economies bill. If you would, members, would take out the language for the bill.
Yes.
And it's SC8214. And we've got the numbers all in place, so let's go ahead and have a walkthrough of the bill with the numbers. The other day we didn't have the numbers in place, so let's go ahead and do that. Mr. Knopf.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think I'll spend much time on most of this. The riders are basically the same. There was one rider that was removed on the plant pest program. The department requested that we not have that in a rider form, so that's taken out. Otherwise, the numbers are basically placed in the rider, so you can see that each of the riders has the numbers in place. There is, if you look at the bioenergy and value added, if you look on page 5, I think we'll look there. You can see you've got the number now for the ethanol producer payments for the first year to cover all of the deficiency payments that are due. And then you've got $3 million the first year for bioenergy. The numbers, and Mr. Mueller adjusted his spreadsheet to have the numbers now reflect. It's $18 million in the first year and $2.3 in the second year. But that, again, the base was there's a base adjustment at the end that kind of makes sure in the next biennium the base for the for this program will be on an equal basis. And then you can see, Mr. Chair, on page 6, on 6.25, that's the number in the second year for the agri program. That's a $2.38 million. And then on 7.6, on page 7, line 6, you can see the $100,000. This is for Senator Saxhawk's proposal for the proposed biomass plant in Lake of the Woods County. I will point out that on page 7, line 7.3 to 7.5, you can see what the base budget will be for the for this program in the next biennium. Again, it's a leveling out. If you take the two numbers that are appropriated, if you look on page 5, lines 5.2, and you see the 18.1 and the 2.38. That's basically the biennial base, and so the base per fiscal year in the next biennium is a 10.247 million. And then the administration and financial assistance, you can see that's basically, as you saw it the other day, it just has the numbers in now. You can see what each of these programs now has as far as dollars appropriated for it for all these base riders. But again, these are just base numbers. There are no changes from what was on the spreadsheet. This is just making sure we get it in the bill. Like if you look on page 9, 9.5, you can see $500,000 each year to Second Harvest. That's a base appropriation for that. So there really aren't any changes to describe except for the numbers from Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet now are inserted into the bill, including the Board of Animal Health and the Agriculture Utilization Research Institute. And then, Mr. Chair, as far as the statutory language, it starts on page 11. There were no changes from the previous, from what you saw last Thursday.
Okay.
So I think that's enough for now, unless people have questions.
Okay. Any questions so far? Seeing none, I'm aware of one amendment. Do the members have that amendment? We'll have two, I guess, but we have one from Senator Rosen.
Okay. I don't have the amendment.
So we'll pass that amendment out. Before we get to that, Dan, Mr. Mueller, do you have any
to point out? Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, I just want to add that I did pass out a new spreadsheet that has today's date on it. There's no net effect on the numbers. I just had to make a couple technical corrections, mostly to how we're allocating the unused the agri program and moving the next gen appropriation up to the first year. So that's the only change pretty much on the spreadsheet, but I just want to make sure there's a spreadsheet out there that accurately reflected what's in the bill right now. So that's been passed out, but like I said, it just switches a couple money from the first year or from second year up to the first year. So it has no net effect on the bottom line.
Okay. Many questions of Mr. Mueller at this time?
Sure.
If not, Senator Rosen, you wish to speak to your amendment, the A1 amendment?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair. And actually, before I speak to the whole thing, I do have an oral amendment also to get into the shape that everybody's comfortable with. So on line 1.3, strike, before signing an agreement to sell or transfer real property, strike that, and then new sentence, an owner of land. And then also on line 1.6, after and, put a map. That's a technical change. And the reason for this is there was the language that we're striking basically tied the recording to the sale before the transfer, and there was some a lot of discussion between the counties and the realtors that were concerned about this, and so we got them together, and this is the language that they proposed. So,
okay, Senator Rosen, would you repeat your oral amendment?
Sure.
So we have it.
This would go on page 12, delete lines 2 to 8, and insert a property owner of land used for farming. So you delete before signing an agreement to sell or transfer real property. And then that would be deleted, a new sentence, an owner of land used for farming who berries. And then the A after and on lines 1.6. And a map drawn. I'd like to move that amendment. I'd like to move the oral amendment. Excuse me.
Right. Excuse me. Would you repeat that again, Senator Rosen?
Sure.
We got too many people whispering.
Okay. So in lines 1.3, delete the first. It starts with C, before signing an agreement to sell or transfer real property. Delete that. And the sentence would start, an owner of land used for farming. And like I said, this does, it's just more comfort language because they're concerned about tying the recording to the sale before the transfer.
Right. Okay, Senator Rosen, would you wish to incorporate that in your amendment?
I would like that.
In the A1 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
All right, members, we have before us then the A1 amendment. All those in favor of said amendment say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Amendment carries. Okay.
What are you doing?
I know we have one more amendment. Senator Benson is working on an amendment. We'll wait just a little while. Members, I would point out some additional information in your packet. You might recall during Senator Rosen's bill the other day, we talked about the head of feedlot discussion. And that was on March 16th, and members, I'll point the point out this information to you. The title says Federal Appellate Court Rules Against the EPA Regulation. Basically, it's some folks were trying to add as an amendment to Senator Rosen's original bill. We decided not to add that in ours. That went on to the Environment Committee, so that's in front of them. But I did want to point out to the members that the Federal Appellate Court did rule against the EPA, saying either you discharge or you don't, and if you don't discharge, you don't need a permit to not discharge. So I wanted that to have in front of you for your information, members. And also, we had asked our friends at the Pollution Control Agency to provide us more information in regards to the permits. You'll see that in the other one page that the Pollution Control Agency has provided to all of us. The top one, there's two types of permits now. On the front page, the back page would have the additional permits. So this is language that we asked for more information from the Pollution Control, and they provided that. So you can look at this at your leisure and form your own opinions what you want to do with it. Again, that portion of the bill we heard is that bill is going on to the Environment Committee. Again, the Department of Agriculture does not have oversight of the permits. The Pollution Control Agency does. They're under the environmental rules, and we don't care to add environmental language in our agriculture bill, and we don't care to have them put agriculture language in their bill. So we're at peace with those folks. So let's see. Anyone wish to testify on the bill from the audience? Mr. Stockman? Again, we have, members, we have, I know we have another amendment coming. We had an issue with the fees on food handlers' fees, so we're having a discussion with that in a little bit. So, Mr. Stockman, welcome to the committee. Please announce yourself for the tape and give us your testimony, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bruce Stockman, and I work for AURI, Ag Utilization Research Institute. And I just wanted to bring before the committee today what really does happen when a cut's like you have proposed. And I understand your difficult challenges that you have before you, but what the cuts really mean to AURI. The first thing I wanted to remind you of is that we leverage almost every dollar that is provided to us with other dollars. And so instead of just losing the dollars that you provide to AURI through this committee, we lose a matching dollar for every one of those also. That means real jobs and real impact on the people that we serve. I know all of us are concerned about agriculture and the brain drain, if you will, the moving of good jobs out of rural Minnesota. A lot of the efforts that we put in place, start businesses and keep those people in rural Minnesota, and those kinds of losses will occur. Eventually, it's going to, in the second year and thereafter, impact jobs, real jobs. Based on the cut that we have here and my being the representative to AURI down here, it's probably my job, but we'll just let it go at that. But I just wanted you to know that it's real impact and it's real pain, and the big loss that we have is economic development for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Stockman. Any questions? Senator Kielash?
Yeah, Mr. Stockman, I didn't quite catch what you said for how much of a match do you get on every state dollar? And where does that match come from?
Mr. Stockman?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Senator Kielash, it's a dollar for dollar, almost a dollar for dollar. So of the dollars provided to AURI, we get almost another dollar in match. And the way that we do that is we work with a number of different groups. It's some of it is federal dollars, which requires a match, an even dollar match. And some of it comes from other ag organizations and other private parties who are working with AURI.
Senator Kielash?
Yeah, just to follow up a little bit, of the dollars that are coming in, do you have a breakdown of federal versus private sector? And one of my areas of interest is developing local foods markets, developing organic and co-op. It seems to be what folks in my district are really interested in trying to make it more available and whatnot. Can you just tell me a little bit about what Ari's doing on that end and how we can better, I guess, what the funding would go to if we could reestablish it?
Mr. Stockman?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kielash, the amount on the federal dollars varies from year to year. We're in an effort to try to get as many of those dollars as we possibly can. In years in arrear, it's been more than 2 years, as I recall. I've only been with AURI since May. But in years past, we had a sizable grant. I think it was about $500,000 from the feds. But since then, we have not had one of those kinds, the same kind of grants. As far as what it means for local foods and local markets, to be honest with you, we work with a number of different groups like that. One project in particular that I'm working as a project development director is just that, exactly that, locally grown marketing system and locally grown delivery system for local produce, and a way to do that year-round, indoors.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Stockman. And I know you and the RE folks appreciate the difficult circumstances we're in, and we appreciate your support and helping in this. And none of us here wants to cut AURI, but we got a tough spot we're in.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I just wanted to let people know what the impact was.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me have that opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Farm Farmers Union, I think, will...
Mr. Chair.
...to come up. Senator Rosen?
Why, Mr. Peterson's coming up. I remember back when Senator Sams had this committee and with AURI and just how it's evolved and changed and the momentum they're making in their projects and the researches and the collaborations that they've got. I think they do a really good job. And
thank
appreciate you,
you
continued funding. I know it's probably going to limit some of the projects going forward, but I think they will find a way to continue on. So
thank you, Senator Rosen.
I think it's a great organization.
We have a task in front of us to get this through the rest of the committees, too, members. So I'll do my best as your chairman to hold this together, whatever bill we put forth here. So Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to remind the committee of the number of successes that AURI has had, yeah. I mean, soy ink, which is now universally used in Minnesota, was an AURI project. And a lot of that corn packing material that you see around, that was an AURI project. So they have had a number of significant impacts on agriculture and the state of Minnesota. And, you know, so if there's a way to work through this and get a little closer to the governor would be helpful, I think.
My best, Senator Scoy. Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Peterson. How are you today?
I'm good today, Mr. Chairman. Good. Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Tom Peterson. I represent the Minnesota Farmers Union. And I would just like to say that I appreciate the work you've done on the budget. I think it's one that we will support in the end. But I do have concerns about the 14% cut to AURI and what that means to job creation and adding value in the rural areas. As Senator Scoy said, our members are involved in a lot of different projects with AURI and concerned about that cut. And I am also concerned about the Next Gen board, and I'm glad you put money in that. I'm on that board. But I do worry about the level of cut to AURI and if it's, you know, it's something that we should consider or look at where we're putting money in other cases. And the one case I'd mention, like in the Next Gen board, for example, you know, we did end up giving back $300,000 in grants that went back to the general fund. And we had other grants in the Next Gen board that we had to move around. That's going to happen, you know, that there's some of the projects worked and some didn't. But I do have concerns that, you know, that perhaps as we go down the road that you look at, you know, are we going to be cutting out funding in AURI where they could be helping add some value and some jobs or different things, but at the same time we're putting money into the Next Gen board that might be doing a similar thing. So it's just a thought I wanted to share with the committee. So
all
thank
right.
you.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson. Any questions for Mr. Peterson?
Just a follow.
Senator Kelash.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Peterson, on that Next Gen, you said, is this funding stable or increase that's on the budget currently? What's the need for it, I guess, is my follow-up on that, if you're sending money back.
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kelash, you mean on the Next Gen board?
Next Gen, yeah.
Yeah, that is new funding. Essentially, we did have money, I think, 3 years ago in 2007, and that's when we made grants to a lot of good projects, but there was a couple projects that didn't go forward, and then we ended up putting that money back into the general fund. So that's one of my concerns. So
just to follow up on that, is there more opportunities for more projects in the next 2 years for the Next Gen funds? Is there more requests for it than there has been in the last 3 years?
Mr. Chairman and members, I think we had, and the department could say, I think we had 50-some requests. So there was a lot of requests, a lot of good projects. I think one thing on the Next Gen board we might want to look at is, you know, having the money canceled back to the, instead of having it canceled back, having it go back to the committee and we can reapportion the money out. So, and keeping it in the Next Gen board would have been helpful. So that's just a thought, too.
Sounds like an amendment to me.
Yep.
And thank you, Mr. Peterson. And again, Senator Rosen and I have been having some initial discussions about the Next Gen board. We've talked about several issues for the Energy Committee and Agriculture Committees to work on, and we're excited about the work that we anticipate the Next Gen board doing. So we'll have a busy summer and fall and start a next session working on that. So hopefully we can come up with some good ideas, save some good ideas. Thank you very much, Mr. Peterson. Anyone else wishing to testify at this time? Mr. Bond?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Bill Bond, Executive Director of the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers. These are the folks and the facilities across the state that provide the crop inputs for producers, the pesticides, the fertilizers, and the seed. We have a number of organizations that represent these facilities. There's a cooperative network, and there's grain and feed. We have a lot of members in common. Our distinction is the focus on the crop inputs and the agronomy department of a facility. I wanted to speak to page 13, starting on line 1322, the payment hydrous ammonia public safety surcharge. And by way of background, wanted you to know that we have had a concern about the safety of our facilities for some time. And we have we were particularly made aware of the anhydrous ammonia compliance issues when the U.S. DOT, together with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety's Highway Patrol, moved into facilities in a inspection program across the state with different teams. We became aware of compliance issues that caused us concern, such that together with the cooperative network and with the Minnesota Grain and Feed and our association, we put on, in cooperation with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, a series of training sessions in which we provided information on all the rules and regulations, and then actually had a nurse tank or a bullet, if you're familiar with them. They're the white tank with wheels that we pull around, and farmers pull them around. We pull them around as well on the fields to basically apply the anhydrous ammonia. And we actually went through a physical inspection of a nurse tank as part of that seminar. It was an all-morning seminar put on in three different places throughout the state, well attended. We appreciate the cooperative cooperation we've had with the Department of Agriculture, and so we come here in support of their efforts for wanting to have safe operation. We certainly do as well. One of the challenges that our members have is that there are numerous agencies and inspectors that come around. As I mentioned, the USDOT sees their authority and their responsibility because of the pressure tank and hazardous substance that anhydrous ammonia represents to the public. They come on our facilities, they inspect our tanks. Sometimes they're looking at specific pressure tank models or serial numbers for the purpose of finding flaws in those pressure tanks. We have, of course, the agronomy section has the Highway Patrol investigating them when they pull them on the roads. And, of course, we have the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And then we have the EPA coming around as well on other agronomy issues. And OSHA, we have such a myriad of inspectors that are coming through the facilities that most of the agents, most of the companies now are creating full-time positions for the purpose of trying to comply with the regulations and create a person who's familiar with all of them. It's very difficult to do. So one of the things our members asked us to do and our board of directors directed us to do is develop an agronomy audit protocol that would incorporate all of the issues, all of the questions regarding regulatory compliance that an agronomy department would face. And we have worked for 2 years now, and we've worked in cooperation with the Department of Agriculture, who has supplied us with their audit questions, and we are moving into the final phase, which will be actually charging our members for the service of having an independent auditor come on their facilities, audit their facilities on all agronomy issues, and that by way of trying to bring together a synopsis of all of the requirements that a facility faces. We will be implementing that this summer, and we're hopeful that that will be a step that the industry actually takes to see that we have better compliance. That being said, when we brought the idea to the department, I think in part they responded to it with some of the suggestions that come in this section and the one that follows it. So specific to the rules that are the legislation that's being proposed, we can't find enthusiasm in our industry for the additional 75-cent charge for the anhydrous ammonia. The concern about competitiveness with surrounding states, we do have retailers from Iowa, South Dakota, Wisconsin, pulling nurse tanks across the borders and supplying those to producers. But beyond that, I think the 75 cents, while it isn't much, when you look at, what, 5-6 cents an acre that the farmer will pay additionally for their fertilizer in this form, there is a sense that this is an additional charge that that farmers will pay. That said, we do support the department in their efforts related to safety, so we continue to talk with them, and we'll work with them in the months and weeks and years to come. I will then comment on page 14, the compliance and inspection frequency, starting at 14.9. And again, I want to commend the department for listening to us and wanting to cooperate with the idea that we brought forward about a year ago and have been talking with them about, and that is staging frequency of inspections based upon the safety and other external audits that a facility may incorporate into their safety plans. Here, I think the department is looking to provide a position that would develop the rules over 18 months. We did not have in mind rules when we made the suggestion to the department, and so it would be we would just comment that what we were looking at is a voluntary program working with the department to acknowledge and see the results of our stewardship audits that the industry is producing, but we certainly do understand that the department has its own needs to develop rules should it go down this road. So we just wanted to comment that that's something we're working with them on, and we'll continue to do so. Had good discussions with the department. Even yesterday we had a good call with Greg Bozicki of the department and a couple of our board members, better understandings on how they're operating, the number of inspectors that they have and how they're operating. So we just have concerns about the additional fee and wanted to make that available to you as a committee. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bond. Any questions? Senator
Kulesh? Mr. Chair, I'm new to the Ag Committee, and I'm not exactly sure what the distributors are required to have. Are you required to have somebody on site that's been certified in some way or other to understand the safety precautions needed for this? Is that a licensed position, a class that needs to be taken? Could you just give me some background on what is currently being required of you for daily or ongoing basis?
Well, Mr. Bond, are you comfortable answering that, or do you want Mr. Bozicki to come up with you? And
Mr. Chair, could I clarify, are you speaking to anhydrous ammonia, or yes, are you talking the broader?
Just the anhydrous ammonia seems to be the issue. So
I from our perspective, and I defer to the department, the department has specific rules and regs. We don't certify people individually on our facilities, but we are required to comply with all of the regulations.
Mr. Bozicki, welcome to the committee.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Please announce yourself, name, and tell us about anhydrous ammonia.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Greg Bozicki. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Mr. Chair, Senator Kulesh, there is a fertilizer license that is required for all folks that sell bulk fertilizer. That would include anhydrous ammonia, but that is simply a licensing, so we know where they are. There is not a test. In fact, I'm not aware that any state certifies the actual applicators or the sellers of anhydrous ammonia. In the pesticide area, there is a number of different licenses for different types of application, but that's in the pesticide area. The fertilizer program has not gone that direction.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up.
Senator Kulesh.
One of the reasons I bring that up is because there's been a few deaths lately in the last whatever for truck drivers not attaching the hoses right, and you know, different folks getting overcome by it because of a small leak or whatever. Could you just address how frequent that is, or if that is something that we should be concerned of?
Mr. Bozicki?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kulesh, between the periods of 2001 and 2010, there were four deaths. I would just simply mention that a couple of them actually involved the transfer people who were in the process of transferring from a bulk facility to a tanker truck, from a terminal to a tanker truck. The other situations happened that were basically exposures as a result of some equipment failure. Generally, we see between 3 to 5 injuries each year, and these would be not just a whiff, but actually some kind of an injury. And we see 2 to 3 evacuations each year where people actually have to be moved out of harm's way. Part of our initiative here is to obtain some dollars to increase our inspection frequency, but also to look at things differently than we have in the past, which is go to a formal rule writing process where a lot of people can be at the table and come up with procedures in which we can do several things. One is to prioritize those facilities that require extra attention because of risk, either compliance or location, and those facilities that have a good compliance record and don't present as much risk, we would spend less regulatory time on those folks. But do that in a very work with the industry to develop those rules so that everybody understands what the rules are. The other thing that we're interested in doing, as Mr. Bond said, and I do want to commend not only his organization but the other organizations. When we had some very serious issues a few years ago, we've worked with those organizations, and as he said, we did put out some outstanding training efforts. One of the things we'd like to do is build upon those successes and actually, through a rule writing process, see if we could actually come up with a way to certify private entities to go out and do compliance checks, not in a regulatory mode, but as a service. And then once those certified individuals or persons signed off on a compliance of that facility, that they're in full compliance, that would be reported to us, and they would go to the less risky category. So I guess what we're trying to do is immediately get some more resources out there, but at the same time also think outside the box to try to come up with a different way of doing things. One of the easier solutions might be to actually go to a full-fledged licensing program. We've had some success with that in our pesticide area, but we've chosen to kind of work with the industry in this other fashion. So,
thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bezicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. And thanks for stopping by and visiting with me on this, too, Greg. I appreciate it. We've had some good discussions, so I appreciate your help. Anyone else care to testify at this time? If not, members, we have another amendment before us. I believe Senator Benson is wishing to offer an amendment. And do all of you have this? At the top, it would say the DE1, although we're not going to be doing a delete all amendment.
No.
This is coming from the language in the House's bill they announced this morning, is my understanding, Senator Benson.
We would be taking some of this language. The overall purpose of the amendment is to remove the fee increase for retail food handler inspections, move some of their general fund appropriation into a special account that would be for food inspection, and to have them report back to this committee the progress they've made in catching up. They told us they needed a fee increase. They told us they needed FTE increases because they were behind, and when pressed on it, they gave us no solid evidence that they were behind. And so instead of moving forward with the fee increase in a time when retailers are struggling, they don't need to be paying one more thing to the state, let's put a little pressure on the retail food handler inspectors to play some catch up and to live within the money that they already have appropriated to them. And that would be the purpose of the amendment.
Okay, I think at this point, since one of our favorite testifiers, Dr. Heidi Katzenberg, is here. Dr. Katzenberg,
Mr. Chair,
do you have a copy of the amendment? Basically, yes. If I might, Senator Sparks, go ahead.
Before we get too far along, could maybe staff help clarify? I thought we were working off the
SC-8214 document. I'd just like to know where this amendment would fit into the bill that we're working on.
I apologize.
Mr. Knopfel.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I understand what Senator Benson is doing, is moving 3.1 to 3.11 from the handout in the amendment. And it would be on page 3 after line 8. It would be a new rider.
Okay.
There has not been, but within this amendment, there's no discussion about deleting the fees. That would, there's also a section in the bill that would have to be deleted if that's the intent, is to delete the fees.
No, Mr. Chair.
And so that would be also on page 16, delete section 16.
Okay, Senator Benson.
Sounds good to you. It's not to delete the fees, it's to delete the fee increase.
Right. Well, Chair, we just delete the section and the fees
stay
there.
Okay.
16 right here.
Okay. Mr. Mueller first.
Mr. Chairman and members, I should point out that if that amendment was made just like that by deleting the fees, and even this would leave a $490,000 hole compared to our targets, we would have to find another reduction in the bill of general fund of $490,000. I understand the intent of this amendment is to still appropriate a certain amount of money for this, but without increasing the fees. But the problem is on the spreadsheet, the fees help meet our target, so we would have to find another reduction. If we wanted to keep at our same target, we'd have to find another $490,000 reduction in the bill somewhere.
Senator Benson?
And I'm going to need some help with this, but we're allocating the fee increase to the operations of the department and then asking them to move it to a special fund. Does that truly increase mm-hmm. our spending?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So we'll have to find some money to offset this somewhere. Senator Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if I have an answer exactly where to find the money, but first I would like to support Senator Benson's amendment. I do think it's a bad time to be piling on retailers that are already struggling. But my question is, it was something similar to this done in regards to the wholesale producer dealer's fee. I'm just looking at lines on the spreadsheet, 46 and 48, and it kind of looks like we might have moved those fees around from one fund to the other. I'm not sure if I'm reading that right, but maybe some clarification would help.
Mr. Mueller will explain that again.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, it's somewhat similar but different. That one, it didn't increase any fee. It just moved it out of the general fund. The difference with the food handler's fee, it's increasing the fee, and currently it's keeping it in the general fund. So it's kind of two different things going on. The other one, we didn't increase the fee. The problem is with this one, we increased the fee, and the revenue goes into the general fund, so we count that as part of our target. I understand what the House did. They did when they originally put their bill together, they didn't increase the fee, so they hadn't spent the money, essentially. So according to our bottom line, if we do get rid of the fees, we have to drop our spending down by $490,000 somewhere in the bill.
Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Mueller, I was just pointing out to the chair that one of the reasons that this has stayed in the general fund is because, as I understand it, the general fund subsidizes a food inspection already, and so this would just increase the subsidy of the general fund to the food inspection program.
Senator Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to suggest that we reduce the next-gen energy grants by $490,000 and to go towards what Senator Benson is proposing.
Okay. You wish to offer that as an amendment?
I'll offer that as an amendment.
That we reduce the next-gen board $490,000.
Line 517. Mr. Chairman, that would be on line 517, where it says $3 million first years for bioenergy. We would reduce that by $490,000.
That's a good point.
Well,
it'd be 2510.
Just to compound that solution, Senator Benson, you realize then you're cutting into our future funds for research, too.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman, did anyone think that maybe it, for 5 to 8, 10 bucks, it might be worth having a little safer food out there? I mean, if you look at these fees, sure, it does go up, but I mean, some of these, as you get above $1 million in gross sales or $5 million, it's a few extra dollars, but on the smaller operators, it's like, you know, a small amount. And if I remember the testimony, I think the whole issue arose to provide some safer food out there, which is a very important it's very important for producers to have safe food. Why is it the public loses trust in the producers? Not only in the retailers, but also the producers.
Senator Benson.
Senator Magnus, to that point, they told us they were behind now. I have not, in the last 2 years, heard a rash of food poisonings out of delis and retail food handling establishments. We also need to remember that there are many cities and counties that do their own inspection. If they're behind now and the retail food market has taken an incredible hit in this economy, I do not see how we justify additional full-time equivalents permanently added to the department's budget. I do not see a permanent increase in fees as justification. When everything else that should drive their costs is declining, they're asking for an increase in revenue. I don't think we have a food issue now. And what this amendment also asks for is for them to show progress that what they're doing is effective and that they're catching up on inspections. And then they can come back and they can ask for an increase in fees. But right now, I see an increase in FTEs, I see an increase in fees, and I don't see a cost driver associated with that increase, justifying
the increase. Have the opportunity, the department will have an opportunity to answer all your questions in a moment, Senator Benson, because we had a testimony again the other day on this. Senator, we have a couple other senators want some points. Senator Scoy has had his hand up for a while. So Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and as you're going to be the lead negotiator for the Senate on the ag bill, you don't want to have everything exactly the same as the way the House does. And just whenever I see these House amendments rolling through the Senate committee, I always kind of want to keep that in the back of your head, that even though you might not be supportive of the fee, you might want to have something to work with when you go off to conference committee. So I'd keep that in the back of your mind as we vote on this.
Sound advice, Senator Scoy. You've been to a few conference committees, haven't you? You always want to have some cards in your hand, too, when you're dealing with even if it's my former roommate, we're going to negotiate anyway. He's my former roommate. So, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I stepped out of the room when they were talking probably with the grocers, but I believe the last time they raised this fee was back in 2003. Was that mentened?
And we haven't had testimony yet, Senator Rose. About to have that from the department.
Okay. Well, I believe it is 2003 is the last time they raised the fee. And so we're now, 8 years later. I don't think this is unreasonable. I tend to agree with Senator Scoy on this one. I completely disagree with my good friend, this Senator Brown here, on taking it out of the next gen board. I think we have momentum with that board. Crippling it by this amount will really pale the whole committee and where it's going. And we are doing some great things for agriculture in the next gen board. And I would like to see $3 million is just to sustaining that group. I'd like to see a lot more in that board, but unfortunately, we can't afford it right now. And I think $3 million is reasonable. We should keep it intact.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you. And to the point about investing in our future, you know, if there is a comment or a critique that I have of the Senate bill and also the commissioner's proposal or the governor's proposal, and that is that the ethanol producer payments are being used for general fund deficit reduction. And I understand it's a matter of timing. We've got this big deficit. The final producer payments are being made. Everybody's glad that we're making those. You know, in some respects, and I can hardly believe that I'm saying this because this is a shift, but, you know, it would have almost been better to just extend part of the producer payments for a couple of years. We would have gotten the general fund benefit on the spreadsheet. Hopefully the economy would have turned around and we would have been able to keep those dollars in the purview of the Ag Committee, because once they're gone, they're going to be gone. And to think that we're going to use part of that future money to fund the administration's inspections for food handlers as opposed to a fee for users, I would be, as Senator Rosen, is not supportive of at all, because when we don't have these dollars to invest in our future, we're eating our seed corn, folks. And we've got to look for the future for agriculture.
Okay, thank you, Senator Skoy. Ms. Gauthier, would you and Dr. Kassenberg give us another explanation of the fees and the situation going on with the food handling fees?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, I'm Greta Gauthier from the Department of Agriculture. Couple points, general points, and then Dr. Kassenberg can also speak to some of the more specifics. It's true. It's been since 2003 that this program has had a fee increase. We did run the numbers. No facility in Minnesota would pay more than a 15% increase. The cost, our cost of doing business, of inspecting and that sort of thing, like all costs for all businesses or all entities, have increased since 2003. And the complexity of today's food operations has increased. Also, there are more facilities that we have to inspect out there. So we have more facilities that are more complex, and no fee increase since 2003. And as to the point that you're not seeing very many outbreaks of foodborne illness, part of the reason for that is that we've actually been able to catch some of those and intercept them before a lot of people get sick. There was one example of listeria at a major retailer. And the other point about local entities doing some of the inspections is also true. Interestingly, when we look at our costs of doing inspections compared to some of those, we find that our costs are quite a bit lower, probably because we're able to achieve some scales of economy that they're not. And we do have data about how much cheaper we do the same work, if the committee's interested in that at some point. And I don't know if Dr. Kassenberg has anything to add.
Sure.
Dr. Kassenberg, how are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Dr. Heidi Kassenberg. I'm the division director for the Dairy and Food Inspection Division. I just have a few more points to add. In elaborating on the complexity of our inspections, in the past we used to look at just a general sanitation for food facilities. And while that's important, what's more important really is the system that they put in place to ensure that when we're not there, they're producing safe food. And so that really requires a different skill set than the food inspector in the past. It takes 18 months to fully fledge a food inspector before they're able to do high-risk food facility inspections. It's quite a considerable curriculum that they go through. And this isn't just some standard that Minnesota's put in place. This is something that that are moving towards national standards. And that is one of the things that's evident in the federal Food Safety Modernization Act, because of they're moving towards uniform standards across the nation. And so our food inspectors need to have all that training. That's not to say that they won't be doing some inspections, some low-risk inspections, when they, you know, after about 6 months or so, but until they actually get up trained, and then also they are evaluated before they can do that type of inspection, the high-risk inspections. As far as the inspections that we will be able to accomplish in 2 years, we've run some numbers, and right now we're 40 to 45% delinquent in our high-risk food facility inspections. If we were to increase our staff by, we estimate, 3 food inspectors by that amount, we will decrease that amount of high-risk delinquency down to 20 to 25% in that 2-year period of time. That's given everything else is equal. So we won't be back to, you know, fully current, but we will have knocked off quite a few in that time period. And when you look at it, you know, if you look at it graphically, you know, our inspectors are being trained, and then they'll be able to start doing more and more. So at that point, they should be, at the end of 2 years, they should be starting to, they should be able to, they'll be fully launched and be able to do those high-risk inspections. So really, by the time that in 2 years, say they actually did get hired in July, which is kind of unrealistic, but say they did, they'd be working as a fully-fledged food inspector for 6 months by the time 2 years roll around.
And Mr. Chairman, just to add, so in that estimation, in year 3, you're going to see a lot more catching up because they'll be fully trained, on board, and out doing inspections. So there, the point we're trying to make is that there is a startup cost. The training is very complex.
And the fee scale, the lowest is $77. So that isn't a whole, I mean, that is $77, but when we look at 15% of that, it is an increase, but it, you know, it is less than $15.
Well, and just to that point, Dr. Kossenberg, with the language before us saying it's a one-time appropriation, you're not going to have any money in 3 years. You're not going to have any different
correct.
Money in 3 years.
That's true.
So,
Senator Magnus?
Senator Benson.
But in 2 years, they could come back with evidence that they had that this catch-up they're talking about occurred, and they could ask for a fee increase then.
Right.
If we shifted the money, you could still do the work that you wanted to do, come back with evidence that you caught up. Now, I understand your concern about the next-gen issue, but I feel like we need to push back a little bit on everybody who comes before us and says we need to be bigger, we need to spend more. And I guess I had asked for some metrics, what other states did, how many inspections other inspectors did, and was presented none of that. I keep hearing that the federal government requires this, and now I'm finding out that we're moving towards a national standard. Two different pieces of information. The federal government requiring it and moving towards a national standard don't carry the same weight. And so some of your answers have pushed off a couple of buttons in my head. So do you have information on how many restaurants inspectors should do or how many retail food establishments should be inspected in a period of time compared to other states? How are we doing? Doctor, I had asked that the last time you were before us, and there was no answer.
Dr. Kassenberg?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I apologize that we did not get that information for you. It somehow did not turn up in my list of things. I apologize, and we can still get that for you, Senator Benson. I'll let Dr. Kassenberg speak as to your question.
Dr. Kassenberg?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, regarding the standards, there are particular standards that are required by the federal government, such as things like seafood HACCP, canning inspection. There's a strict criteria where people have to attend those classes and have to pass examinations. We actually had an inspector that, you know, there's a class where many inspectors don't pass some of those, so they are very rigorous. So there are national standards. Now, not every state is the same. And so when I say the federal government is moving towards those standards, that's what I mean on that. As far as numbers of inspections, it would be difficult to actually estimate or extrapolate off the top of my head as far as how many inspections we do as compared to other states, because other states have a different setup, but I can get that information for you. And again, I apologize, that was not something that we didn't come across as a specific question. So.
Oh, and Dr. Kastenberg, how many FTEs do you have doing inspections now?
We have approximately 30 FTEs, I believe, and they do approximately 130 inspections a year, between 130 and 150.
And, Mr. Chairman, if I may, we would not be adding FTEs to the department because with this change, fee increase, because we do have 24 employees who are taking early retirement, and we are not replacing six of those positions.
Okay, so what is the net result then in FTEs? I think that's one of Senator Benson's concerns, is the possible increase in FTEs. Is that one of your concerns, Senator Benson?
Mr. Chairman, do you mean as the whole department?
Well,
or do you mean
food,
for...
Well, yeah. Senator Benson, you asked the question.
The original document we received indicated an increase of three FTEs, and that's what I'm going off of.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Benson, for the retail food inspection program, that would be correct. For the Department of Agriculture as a whole, there would not be an increase. We would still be at a net decrease in FTEs.
I think we have, Senator Miller, did you have a question?
I'm just wondering, does Senator Brown have an amendment on the table as far as the next gen board goes?
He does.
Okay.
And he is amending Senator Benson's amendment.
Okay.
If he still wants to.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would like to withdraw my amendment on reducing the next gen energy grant, but I would like to have continued discussion on what Senator Scully addressed in possibly delaying ethanol producer payments.
Yep. Well, Senator, I think we have a couple issues in front of us with this amendment and with this whole discussion here. One is the funding and the fees covering the funding. The other part also too that I would support as your chair is having a report back, having the department report back to us. I think that's probably a good idea. We want to see progress. We want to see that we're following the federal laws and get the information we need, and so I would certainly do what we can to put that in a report in there, because I think that's wise to do that. Senator Benson.
Chair Magnus, I would be willing to withdraw my amendment as it stands, as we have run into a serious funding issue. I would like to insert language requiring a report from the department as a result of this.
Okay.
And I would also ask the chair to please consider this as part of conference negotiations. I think it's important that we listen to these small businesses and try to protect them as best we can. And that was my motivation for bringing this forward. We have small businesses being asked to pay more. We need to push back on our department. And with that, I will respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Okay, I think we've got it figured out, Senator Benson.
I think, Mr. Chairman, one way to do that, Senator Benson, would be to just add the language on 3.1 to 3.11, except I would delete on 3.3 to 3.4, this is a one-time appropriation, because it would not be, the fees are ongoing, and this should be an ongoing part. But it would basically say, so it would still say the $245 each year, that is the increase in the fees, and that's the increase that they're in the appropriation. And then it would say no later than the commissioner shall still report. The only other issue is on 3.10. It says the word perceived shortfall of necessary inspections. I think the department has clearly stated that they have a shortfall of necessary inspections, and I don't think the word perceived seems appropriate there. And so, Mr. Chair, Chairman and Senator Benson, what I would do is on page 3 after line 8, I would insert that with the subtractions that I mentioned, taking out the one-time appropriation and the word perceived on 3.10. I think if you just did that to the bill, it would stay, the numbers in the bill would be fine with the fee increases and the appropriation level.
Senator Benson, does that capture your thoughts?
I am fine with removing this as a one-time appropriation. Kind of liked the word perceived because, again, we haven't seen statistics. We hear them say things, and every time we're pushed, we get a little bit more. But I will remove perceived because it is unnecessarily inflammatory.
And Senator Benson, we'll have more testimony as we go through with this. We'll Heidi, we'll have you back up here on the conference committee. Don't run too far away when we do. And if you could get that information to us, that'll help us as we deliberate our cause here. So, Senator Benson, is that you're agreeable to this amendment then, and you offer this amendment up on?
I offer.
We'll call this the A2 amendment, member. Since we have A1, let's have an A2, and we'll call this the A2, and Senator Benson would offer an amendment after line 3.8 on page 3, the language that we've described here on the A2 amendment. Is that all right with you, Senator Benson? All right. Thank you very much.
Summarize that again, Mr. Chair.
Okay. After line 3.8 on page 3 of the bill, we will add the language here at the top of what we'll call the A2 amendment. It's the House language basically dealing with this. And we will strike, this is a one-time appropriation, and we will strike that sentence, and we will strike the word perceived in the department's shortfall. So is everyone clear now? Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure everyone's clear. By adding this rider doesn't add an extra cost to the agency. This money is already actually part of the overall appropriation, just as spells it out in language.
Right.
And as long as we don't repeal the fees, we're still good.
Right. So basically we're asking for a report, and we want to get a handle on this. So, okay, Senator Brown.
Senator, or Mr. Chair, so this amendment they're offering, what are we accomplishing by doing this?
We're basically getting a report, Senator Brown. In 2 years, we're getting a report on the progress of getting up to the federal standards of the food inspections.
But we will, Mr. Chair. The plan is to keep the 15% fee increases.
Right.
We're all going to.
Senator Brown, unless we find some money somewhere else,
that's why I brought up the ethanol payments. If we had a discussion on that, we could possibly find money there.
Okay. Would you wish to? Okay. Let's approve. Let's act on this amendment, and then if you want to offer something oral, Senator Brown, let's do that. Okay. All those in favor. Everyone understand the amendment then we have before us? All those in favor of the A2 amendment then signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay. That motion carries. Now, Senator Brown.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would offer an amendment that the $490,000 that we're looking at in this amendment be taken from the ethanol producer payments. I don't know how to word that specifically, but.
Okay. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Brown, I think the way to, I mean, you could just take them from the ethanol producer payments, but that would be going back on an agreement that we have with the ethanol producers. If you want to get the same general fund outcome on your spreadsheet, you need to delay that amount of payments until the next biennium. And that would give you the general fund reduction in this biennium that's required by the targets, but would allow you to expend that money in a different manner. But, Mr. Chair, can I add one more thing?
Mm-hmm. Senator Scoy.
My thought on this, and I wasn't going to talk about this until the very end of the committee meeting, but my thought on this is I think this is something that if for some reason this bill doesn't become law, you know, it might be worth taking a look at something along that line down the road this session to see if there isn't something that could be done there, because, you know, in the confines of the Ag Committee here, there's a lot of us that have put a lot of effort in trying to keep those producer payments in the purview of the Ag Committee. And I understand the situation we're in now, but you know, if there was some way to keep a little more of that, I think we're going to get about $10 million to still spend. The producer payments around 15. You know, it might be something that you could explore down the road this session. Members, this is the first car in a long train. You know, this isn't going to be the last opportunity we had to talk about this stuff this session, in my opinion.
Well, we've got if you take it from those funds, Senator Brown, then you have this one-time event again. That's the problem we're in. Senator Scoyer brought up one issue that a lot of us have fought tooth and nail for years to keep this funding in agriculture and use this for our future funds. Whether it's to support our livestock industry or support future biofuels. I really hate to go down that road. We've taken $500,000 out of that. It's really hard to get any money back into that spot.
If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Chair, I wouldn't recommend doing a small number if it would have to be a larger number to make it worthwhile to delay the payments.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, and I just want to thank you. Like Senator Scoy said, too, when we put these budgets together, it's never easy. And I think that you've been very fair and very open. As I recall, these fee increases were part of the governor's recommendations that have been out for quite a while. I have a document here that we went over all together dated on March 17th that had those fee increases in there. I know that members have every right to offer amendments and do what they want to do. I think that the chair has been very fair with the minority members, and I believe he's been fair with the Republican members. But for the grocers to bring a letter on March 22nd, kind of at the last minute, seems a little bit disingenuous to me, because I think if they had issues with this prior to this hearing, I think that they could have made those issues known to us and the other committee members. And I think, Mr. Chair, you've done a nice job. You know, there's some things in here that I don't like, but I think overall you've been very fair and balanced. I think it's time that we live up to our obligation to pay off those ethanol producer payments, and so I would urge that we do not support Senator Brown's motion before us.
Well, Mr. Mueller.
Well, yes. Mr. Chairman, I think at least I'll try putting out a proposal. What Ms. Senator Brown is trying to accomplish here, it would be to reduce on line 5.3 the first year appropriation that would pay off all the rest of the ethanol producers by $490,000. But we would also have to make a reduction in the tails of $490,000 too, about the amount that's available for the agri program, because presumably some of that would now have to be available also for ethanol payments. There's an argument that could be made that if you want to delay them out into the next biennium, it would probably require some extra language too to push, say, this last amount of payments has to be made out in 14 and 15 also. So it would take a little bit of language to do it, but if that's what the intent is, we could certainly do it.
I still get back to the thought that we're using this one-time money to fund an ongoing thing. And if we go back and as I heard the testimony, we hire these folks over a period, we train them, and then we're going to take the money away again, because we don't have ongoing money here. See, we're taking away from the one-time money, putting it in, and we still have that issue then of doing it. So. But I'll do what the committee wishes. So. All right, we have a motion, an oral amendment in front of us from Senator Brown that we reduce the the ethanol payment on line 5.3 by $490,000 and use that for the, and we'll figure the language on, members, and use that for the food handler inspection fees.
Mr. Chairman, I understand you'd also want to activate in the food handler fees in
Section 16. You'd also, right, in Section 16, members, you'd also be deleting these, this whole section here, the food handler fees. So you would be deleting that out of the bill, Senator Brown, with your...
Yes, and Mr. Yeah, Chair, maybe after the vote, we won't even have to worry about it, but...
Well, I understand you and Senator. All of us have this. None of us wants to raise fees, so we understand, Senator Brown. Okay, all those do we understand the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
Motion fails. All right, members, any other discussion? Anyone else wishing to testify? Members, we have a tough fiscal challenge ahead of us as a state, as a nation, and I want to thank all of you for your devotion and your work on this, on the bill, and you're helping the committee. Just to recap this, we're reducing the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's budget by 14.8%. We are reducing the Board of Animal Health by 5.8%. Most of that is from the bovine TB fundings that we've had in the past. I want to commend the Board of Animal Health's efforts and the Department of Agriculture working in a partnership to handle this bovine TB situation in a very admirable way. And members, we're also unfortunately having to reduce the Agricultural Utilization and Resource Institute by 14%. None of this any of us want to do, but we are facing dire financial situations. So that's my comments on the bill. I appreciate everyone's help. Board of Animal Health, the Department of Agriculture, AURI, the commodity groups, Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and others involved, and those in the testifiers who worked for us to develop the bill. So any other comments? Otherwise, we'll take a vote on the bill. Seeing no comments, all those in favor of...
Chairman, I just want to make sure you've got the motion right here, because this is a draft bill. The motion is to approve SC 8214 as amended to be introduced as a committee bill.
Okay.
And it'll be under the chair's name, and it'll be referred to Finance Committee.
Right. We'll go to Finance on Thursday. Okay. All those in favor of SC 8214 as amended, being passed on as the committee bill, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Thank you very much. The bill passes. Thank you very much, members. We will not meet on Thursday. We're trying to get all of these budget bills out.
But I don't have to vote for it this year.
So we will not be meeting on Thursday. Watch your emails to see when we meet again. And thanks again, everyone, for your support. The committee's adjourned. 2%.